Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, guys, welcome to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts, your automotive host with the most. In the studio, as always, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hour's financial analyst slash numbers guru, Richard Hoskins.
What's going on out in Russell, Iowa? Shout out to our buddy Jeff Morrison, man. Stay safe out there on the roads. Thanks for listening.
That's right. Truck driving, man.
That's it.
I'm telling you, we got the truckers on our side now.
We do, man. It's like, we've got some awesome truckers.
It's like all of a sudden I hear, what's that, C.W. McCausland on Convoy. It's a dark moon in the 6th of June.
They're the most underappreciated profession in the United States.
I want to tell you something about them trucks. We ain't got nothing.
Yeah, nothing's going down.
And then, of course, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours legal counsel slash all-around cool car guy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
How's y'all's week been?
You know.
Just chilling.
You know.
Ducking and diving.
Stone chilling.
Ducking and diving.
Story of my life.
I feel like I've been hit at and missed and, well, I can't say that on the radio and hit, but you know what I'm saying. You know what? I bought something random this week. I'm a Chevrolet guy. Everybody knows that. You cut me and I bleed C4 Corvettes.
They just pop out of your veins.
C4 Corvettes everywhere. And you would think I sleep in a C4 Corvette bed at night. You know, like, I'm that guy.
That'd be cool.
Actually, it would be killer. Don't give me ideas.
Get a bumper and use it as a headboard. That would be pretty cool.
Hey, now.
Hey, I know a guy that could build that.
So, I was playing around on Craigslist, originally looking for a mate for the professor. I don't think they do that anymore.
They stopped that.
No, there's.
How do you know so much about it there, Kobe?
Richard was telling me that.
There's a couple new other sites that have kind of picked up the slack.
So anyway, I was on Craigslist, and I do. Whenever I'm on hold, I'm at the shop or, you know, just killing time. You know, if I'm talking to somebody or something like that, and they're talking to me, and I'm pretending I'm listening, I'm playing on Craigslist or Marketplace looking at cars for sale. That's what I do. I was scrolling through. This was Monday. I was scrolling through, and I saw it. And this is typically something that wouldn't raise an eyebrow. I saw a Ford F-150, a 93 Ford F-150. And I was like, but not a normal F-150. See, I mean, a normal F-150, if it was just a Paul truck, I'd have kept scrolling. Now, if that was an OBS truck, I'd stop, click.
And bought it.
Yeah.
But it's the F-150.
It's the ultimate F-150, probably. Probably the hottest F-150 ever made.
It's the coolest one, I think.
By far. It is a Ford Lightning. And you know what? I'm kind of excited about it.
It's a cool truck, man.
And you know, back when I did my YouTube VinWiki video about the top 10 collector cars under 20 grand that are getting uber collectible, the Lightnings are right there with the OBS trucks. The Ford trucks, not so much with the OBS Chevrolet trucks, but your 454 SSs and the Lightnings have gone out of sight. Mm-hmm. And so I did a search, and I bought this truck for a very good price. And, I did a search on Auto Tempest, and that's a very cool site because you can literally check the entire country for automobiles. And you can look up every Lightning truck, which they only made them 3, 4, 5 for the first gen.
For the first gen, yeah.
And so 93, 94, 95. All three of them, there's a double handful across the country for sale, which they didn't make a whole lot of them anyway every year.
No, they didn't.
I bought the cheapest one in the country from what I can find. I feel like old Hoovy. I bought the cheapest Lightning in the country.
I think your luck in general is probably a little better than his.
Yeah, mine runs.
Yeah, and it's probably going to keep running.
Yeah, that's but you know, that's...
there's a little difference between I bought the cheapest F-150 Lightning and I bought the cheapest Rolls-Royce Phantom.
Yeah. So, anyway, so this truck, and it's not perfect by any stretch, and you're going to have to stay tuned for the details. This is going to be part of my new YouTube series, this truck is, and I think it's going to be a good one. Definitely got a great story, and I think that's what sold me on it more than the truck. But, you know, that got me thinking about all these 90s cars. At least, how many times do you think a week, Kobe? 3 times, 4 times a week, Professor pops online. Hey, did you see Bring a Trailer? No, because I don't watch Bring a Trailer.
You should.
I don't watch Bring a Trailer either. I keep forgetting about it, really.
But how can you with him around?
I know, but I watch a lot of the other, you know, car sites and all that stuff. And all that.
I work 9 to 5, and I probably spend a good 5-6 hours of my workday on Bring a Trailer. with maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours of actual work done daily.
And I put a lunch break in there, too.
Yeah, sometimes.
So please, boss man, don't be listening.
Yeah, no, trust me, he's not. No, none of my coworkers listen to this show. Last week's show, one of my coworkers, it actually would have been very helpful for her, and she still didn't listen to it.
What?
Yeah, Casey's trying to buy a new car, and I'm trying to help her, and I thought last week's show would come in handy.
You know, I listened to last week's show. It was pretty good.
We sound like we know what we're doing.
I know, right?
Kind of.
Yeah, like 1 out of 5 shows, man. We nail it.
like it's almost like 90%, which is a B. But you know what I'm saying?
Hey, man.
It's a good B.
C's get degrees.
I am so glad you're not a guidance counselor, Professor. You'd be like, yeah, you're stupid. But you know what? You're going to do just fine. Everybody's dumb now.
D's get you through the door.
Oh, me. No comment. But you know, and that's the big thing now, is this makes me feel old, though, because I posted a little teaser on Instagram and Facebook about this truck, you know, and I've already kind of gave it the nickname, the Black Sheep, because in my fleet of GM vehicles, this one Ford sticks out like a turd in a punch bowl. But, man, it kind of looks like a turd right now, but you know what I'm saying. It's like people are like, oh, my God, look at that classic Ford truck. When I think classic Ford truck, I think of like a 50 Ford truck or a 56 Ford truck or maybe even a 67 Ford truck or 68, not a 93 one.
Well, it's like you and I were talking about the other day on the phone. I was telling you about this awesome 94, 95 Lightning that I tried to get my dad to buy me when I was in high school. And you said, you know, I mean, this was a year-old truck.
Yeah.
And you're like, where was that? And I told you, and he's like, yeah, that was my dad's.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it just makes you feel old. Like, I remember when these things were new.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I don't know.
93 was a long time ago.
Now, come on, Kobe, you older than I am. I want to hear it.
And that was a long time ago.
I can't handle it. Like, it don't feel like it was that long ago.
It don't feel like it, but if you go back and.
It's a classic.
It's a classic.
It's a classic. It makes me feel old.
Well, you can get an antique tag for it.
You can put an antique tag on it. You can do that. But, you know, this is the thing that's crazy about this, is these things are really getting on the money. Yeah, and it's not just hype. OBS trucks, I'd almost make that hype. But now, you know, I joked about C4 Corvettes for so long. You can't touch a decent C4 Corvette for less than $5,000 now.
No.
You could buy the nicest one in the country for $5,000.
You can haul one out of someone's backyard for $2,500.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, not
that was a $400 car 2 years ago. Now, right. It's insane what these 90s cars are bringing. These and 80s cars, we've already seen them jump up. We've talked about those. But the 90s cars, and I'm talking about, you know, it's not just your Lightnings. You're starting to see the Cyclones popping up, the little Typhoons. You see a few of them popping around. I tell you another thing. Like I said, the 454. I saw the coolest thing ever. I was actually when I was looking on Craigslist. They had a 454 SS truck for $8,500 and it looked clean. I clicked. This is a good one. It's a 454 SS clone.
Jeez.
It's what a 3
350 truck with 454 SS
decals. On the back. But this is the thing. They're using the terminology. It's a clone truck.
Yeah, it's not a clone. That is not a clone.
It's just fake. How about that? That's false advertisement.
Stickers on.
Straight up fake.
Speaking of advertisement, guys, we got to cut loose for a commercial break. Stay tuned. We're talking about 90s classics right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts in the studio. As always, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hour's financial analyst, the professor himself, Richard Hoskins.
What's going on? In honor of our discussion tonight about 90s vehicles, I figured we'd look up some of the coolest 90s party cities back in the days of raves and grunge. So shout out to another one of Rob's favorites, Las Vegas, Nevada.
I love that town. I'm so looking forward to it. SEMA time's coming around. I actually met with a sponsor out there. They want to see out SEMA. And I was talking to him today. And we did a conference call today, and we're talking about Vegas, and I can't mention some of the things we were talking about that happens in Vegas on the radio, but it's always a good time in Las Vegas. You know what I'm saying? It's an interesting time. I think that's the best way to describe it.
It's a very interesting time, and there's a lot to see, a lot to take in a short amount of time. So get your walking shoes on and get to getting.
Get your walking shoes on and get to getting. And then, of course, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours legal counsel / all-around cool car guy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
Kobe, you bought a campground.
Yes, sir.
I want to start calling you like Yogi Bear. Or what was the park ranger's name? Who was the park ranger? Like the Yogi Bear? Remember the try to catch him stealing the picnic basket?
Stealing the picnic
basket. Ranger something.
Ranger Dave.
Dave. Might have been Tommy.
Ranger Steve. Whatever. You're Ranger Kobe.
That's there you go. Eduardo.
I don't think that one was it. Possibly. I don't think so.
It's going to take a lot of work.
You know what? Anything. But, you didn't see this lightning I bought. I'm going to tell you something.
Lightning will be there long before this.
I don't know. It's pretty bad. You know, if you ever seen a lightning pulled out of the bottom of a lake? Oh. You know how long it's going to take to get the fish smell out of those Recaro seats? No, that's the fun thing. I don't want to keep talking about it because we're messing around third details out of it. This truck is epic, the story behind it. And I think that's why, like, you know, the Meth Bus mini truck and things like that. That right there, this is better to me.
Yes.
This may even be better than the Camaro I sold.
Well, let's not get crazy.
He said, that's just silly. But anyway. So we're talking about 90s classics. God, it feels dumb. I feel like I'm hosting one of those Time Life CD things, CD collections. Yeah, listening to all your 90s classics like Belle Biv DeVoe and Color Me Bad.
Or dancing to that in middle school.
What is it?
Do you know how many,
what was that CD?
How many of your kids were made listening to this?
What was that CD? You know, always that series, like Pop or something. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you used to get it, and it used to have, like...
Oh,
had all the mixed songs on there, but it was, like...
It was, like, the mixtape of CDs. Yeah. Like, you bought it at the store.
Yes, though. Yeah.
It was like, wasn't it called, like, Now That's What I Call Music?
There you go. Hey, yeah. Hey.
That's it. Millennial here. How's
Why
it going?
Why do you know that?
I'm a millennial.
Well, yeah, you weren't born yet.
Exactly. You do know they still make them, right?
No, I do not.
Now That's What I Call Music. CDs? 376.
The series. It's like, Now That's What I Call Music 79.
I was going to say, it has to be like 3,000 by now.
And most of those songs sucked.
Like, you would have like two good songs out of like 18.
Well, hell, that was a CD in the 90s in general.
Well, that is true.
True.
All right. I mean, okay. Speaking of the 90s. Who all owned Jagged Little Pill by Alanis Morissette?
I had it on tape.
Okay. How many good songs were on that one?
I don't know. I listened to it for like 10 minutes.
Exactly. Like, yeah, exactly. Every CD in the 90s was just like that. There's only one CD in the 90s, in my opinion, that was remotely good all the way through. And it was a bass CD. So Def, Bass yep. All-Stars.
Yep.
It came in that chartreuse green case. That was, if you had a system, every man in the South owned that CD.
Apparently someone's never listened to an Alice in Chains CD all the way through.
No, I haven't. You know why? Because my grandmother raised me in a Baptist church. That's why. Thank you.
They were all very good.
Yeah. He said they're all good. I do like, what's that, The Man in a Box?
Yeah, Man in a Box. Dun, dun, dun. All is great, man. That's not even, close to one of their best songs. You need to check them out.
I don't know. My grandma's still alive. I'm about to go confess my sins or something. I listen to Alice in Chains. Oh, Lord.
What does that mean? I don't want to tell you.
I think my grandmother would be worried about that. But I'm going to sprout a nose ring or something. That'd be bad.
Don't do that.
You know what I'm saying. Richard could pull it off.
I could see Richard with a nose ring.
Never had a nose ring, but I have had some facial piercings in the past.
You've had facial piercings?
I had my eyebrow and my lip pierced.
Really? I do remember that. I remember that. You were
young.
Progressive.
I was young and I liked grunge music.
A lot. Oh. Yeah, you actually look like a the band member of Nirvana that got cut. Screw you, Kurt. Band stupid anyway.
Don't say that about Kurt, please.
But anyway, so we're talking about 90s classics and not music. I tell you another 90s classic, and the professor was talking about this, and this is not a strong suit for me. Import cars. The JDM market has went insane.
It has.
Japanese cars today. A 97 Supra on Bring a Trailer with 70,000 miles on it, which, low miles for a 97, but not for a collector car, and had, some mild modifications. Sold for $87,500.
$87,000 for a Supra.
That was 70,000 miles. I mean, there's a couple of 5,000 miles that have gone for $150 recently.
Mind blown. How about the Acura Integra that brought all the money at Bear Jackson? What, 48?
45.
48.
Yeah, it was 48,000.
It was a low mile car.
Yeah,
Okay, when I see Acura Integras, and there's some bad ones.
It's not an Acura Integra, though. It's an Acura Integra Type R. There's a difference.
Yeah, there's an R on there.
There was just a...
there's an R on it. Integrar.
A Skyline.
Integrar.
Integrar.
A Skyline went on there for... It was a kind of low-mile Skyline. Went for, 85 the other day.
But... those are the Japanese supercars. So I can kind of see that a little bit. But, and a Supra was a performance car, don't get me wrong. But it was, when they were new, they weren't that hot. I mean, you've seen some.
They were expensive.
They were expensive, but they weren't that popular. I mean, you've seen some, but not a lot.
What happened in the 90s is the Japanese quote-unquote supercars, the Zs, the RX-7s, the Supras, the Japanese yen in the 90s was not doing well. So in order to sell in America, the prices on these cars got outrageous. They went a 300 ZX Turbo in early 90s was in the low 30s. Well, by 96, they were $46,000, $47,000 for the same car. But it's just because of the ratio to the dollar to the yen, they just got outpriced. I mean, they didn't sell.
Well, we're going to catch back up on this because we've got to take a commercial break. But that plays a big factor in these things, a huge factor.
Yeah, I mean, these cars
because
are
we're
going to
talk about some JDM cars that aren't hitting on anything that were made at the same time that were competitive cars with these cars new. Yeah. Guys, stay tuned. We got a lot more Hot Rods and Happy Hour headed your way.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hours. Rob Pitts in the studio, as always. We have Hot Rods and Happy Hours financial analyst / Japanese domestic market vehicle guru, the professor himself.
Well, we're not actually, we're not, never mind. All right, in honor of the last segment where Rob was insulting my musical taste, shout out to Seattle, Washington.
I like some Nirvana songs, but the only reason I like them is because the singer for Foo Fighters was the drummer.
I'm still thinking about Alice in Chains.
Oh. And then, of course, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours legal counsel / all-around cool car guy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
So, we're talking about this JDM market. And this is one that's crazy. Now, you're talking about S2000s are bringing money. Now, I remember when S2000s, they were the hot ticket. Like, when they first came out, they were red hot. Then they dropped.
Yeah. And to clarify, we're not actually talking about JDM. We're not talking about Japanese domestic market vehicles because they're actually not worth anything here. But just Japanese cars from the 90s, Japanese imports. But yeah, the S2000s, again, I'm not a huge fan. They're cool little cars. You know, if one of my buddies had one, I'd like to drive it. But the old people that put them away and just used them occasionally, and or they're selling them now. I don't blame them. I mean, they're bringing just stupid, stupid money.
I'll tell you one. Miatas.
Mm-hmm.
Even the, like, the turd ones. $3,000-$4,000
Yeah. A lot of people.
And, I mean, those cars were a joke.
A lot of people are buying them up just to go taking their wives cruising up the mountains.
The first ones were very slow. They were great cars, however. They're yeah, very they're unbelievably reliable. I don't, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to rush out.
And for a Mazda, that's saying a lot.
I know, right? I'm not going to rush out and buy a car with 116 horsepower, but, you know, I mean, it's a very special car. It definitely, it was a game changer because it was like a modern roadster that had the spirit of all the old roadsters that leak oil all over the place and had Lucas Electronics. So, like, you could get that feel in something that works.
So. And MacGruber had one. Remember the SNL guy?
Yes.
He had one with a tape deck that you pulled out the whole radio.
I remember those. I had one of them Craig radios.
It's like you pull a boombox out.
Walking around the mall.
What's up, girl?
I had that Craig radio.
What'd you think about this Alpine?
It wasn't Alpine.
What was yours?
Mine was Craig.
Ooh.
I remember those. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Alpine never made one. Craig made one. I think Craig made one. Kenwood made one. And one other one made one. Yeah, it had a. It was massive. That thing weighed like 22 pounds.
Yeah, you're walking
what was
around,
the whole head unit?
It was you're walking everything. Around with the damn car stereo.
Minus the plug.
Head. Yeah, this is before detachable face.
Yep.
And what do you do with it when you take it out? You know what I mean? Like
you carry it.
You don't stick it in your pocket. You know what I mean?
Stick it in your girl's purse, maybe?
No, you carry it around and think you're cool.
I mean,
yeah, it's like carrying the hammer for your Daytons around with you or something.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, a detachable face is aggravating enough. Carrying a complete head unit with you. Yeah. I hate carrying a set of keys.
I'm with you. I hate
and now
keys.
I've got to carry.
Just think, whoever came up with that idea of the removable head unit, just think of how mad they were when that dude was like, hey, I got another idea. Detachable face.
Oh.
And, you know, the thing is, was people really stealing tape decks? Was it that big of an epidemic? Do we need to do this?
I don't know.
I've never, and I mean, I kind of grew up in that stage, so I ain't saying I was dead around it, but I was around it. I never heard of it. Man, somebody jacked my tape player.
Mine was in a Jeep, so I took mine out all the time.
Well, yeah, that's a little different. I never had anything stolen, but I did get a new system in high school for my car, and I sold my old system to Alan Epps that we went to high school with. And I installed it for him. I did it for a pair of new Ray-Bans. And he had that system in his car for like a weekend. And he took it to the bowling alley and everything got stolen. Everything.
Really?
Every single piece of it.
Hmm.
Two subs, box, amp, speakers inside.
All right. So speaking of the Japanese cars that are getting red hot, I've got one for you. That's not a performance car, even remotely. Which I'm not really saying a Miata's a performance car either, but they do race them.
What's a performance car? It's not a fast car. It's a performance car.
It's a performance car. Suzuki Samurais.
That's a performance vehicle of sorts.
35 horsepower.
But I mean, you know what, though? Go find one now.
I've had one. I've had two of them,
actually. I've had several over the years.
I love my little Samurais.
I remember when those were $500-$700 vehicles. Now, nice ones?
$6,000-$8,000.
You know where you can find one?
Where?
Bring a trailer.
What are they going for, about $7,000?
It depends, because it's an international site, so a lot of them will be like the ones that didn't come here that were like diesel-powered and
well,
stuff.
Well, they actually had two-stroke ones, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's insane.
They powered them with damn near anything, because, I mean, it's the simplest vehicle.
This one runs off bleached walnut shells. What? I've got a steam-powered Samurai. I mean, chuck some wood into the furnace.
But, yeah, there's a market for them. And, again, that's a car that was a throwaway car when it was new, so it's not like you're going to see very many nice ones.
How about the Yugos? Where are they coming up at?
They come up, man, and there's a following for those.
There's a guy that collects those things on VinWiki.
Really? Yeah, the guy
collects
with the long,
Yugos. Yeah.
The fat dude with the long hair. Yeah.
Easy on the fat dude thing. He's a listener.
What?
Easy on the fat dude thing. He's a listener.
The robust, the robust
the
gentleman,
husky fella.
The husky gentleman, he was sick. He had food poisoning when Doug DeMuro came and drove it. he got sick.
Oh, I don't think it was the food. It was probably the Yugoslavian car.
Yeah, it was probably the exhaust fumes.
I remember when the Yugos hit the market.
I remember our local dealership was Brockman Chrysler Plymouth Yugo. Yep. And they had, you could buy one, get one free.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
If you bought a top-of-the-line one, they'll sell you a bottom-of-the-line one for free.
And if you bought, like, a normal car, you'd get a Yugo.
Yes.
Yeah, like, just take it.
Yeah, here, please.
Do you want this removable CD player or tape deck or a Yugo? Give me the Craig.
Yeah, I'll take the tape deck.
my aunt actually...
It's still running.
My aunt actually got a Yugo. She gave it to one of her friends because she bought a Pontiac 6000 LE, and they gave her a Yugo. And she gave it to a friend.
You ever seen the emblem on the back of a Pontiac 6000 LE?
All the time.
All right, so you see that emblem? I actually had sold a car one time to a guy, and he said, what do you got? I said, I got a Pontiac Ghoulie. And I said, excuse me? He said, a Ghoulie.
A Ghoulie.
It says it right on the back. So I walked out there and looked. It's a 6000 LE. Oh. And then after he said that, I can see it a little bit.
I hope you got that thing cheap.
It's a ghoulie. But Yugos, which they made those into, what, 93?
No, 89 or 90.
Really?
Maybe 91. They made convertibles, man.
What?
They did. You never seen a Yugo convertible?
No.
I've never seen a Yugo convertible.
They had the top-of-the-line model. It was called, like, the GTV or something, and you could get a convertible one.
Really?
Yeah, hang on.
I'm going to Google this.
A Yugo with even less metal in it.
Yeah, really. Fortunately, less weight to pull around, probably, because I don't think they did a whole lot of extra bracing to compensate.
The doors don't shut, but it's okay.
It was the Yugo something convertible.
They had like a GLX or something?
They had a...
GV was the standard. I know that.
I'm Googling it right now.
There you go.
Wow. I did not know that was even a thing.
That was a cool looking Yugo.
Wow, they made a Yugo phone too.
A Yugo what?
Phone.
Oh my lord, that's a telephone. It's amazing.
What an ugly little car that is.
They remind you of like a squished up little rabbit.
I love that it's sitting next to a 65 Cadillac in the picture.
Oh yeah.
Because it's a classic.
It's the same size as the door.
They do make a convertible.
There's probably more metal in the armrest of that Cadillac than there is in the Yugo.
GVX, that's what it was called. The GV was the base one, and then the quote-unquote sport one was a GVX. Yep.
But they kind of do, in a way, resemble like a little rabbit.
They're Fiats is what they are. They're really? Old model Fiats that the Yugoslavian government bought the rights to and started making crappier versions of them.
Really? But
yeah, everything about a Yugo is a Fiat.
I did not know that. Yeah.
Someone on here made a six-wheel one.
A six-wheel? That's got to be a Photoshop.
I don't know. It
can't be real.
Is there no way it could pull?
No, they only had like what? A five-horse Brig and Stratton in them or something?
Well, I don't know if they were quite that good.
And they're front-wheel drive also.
Oh, man. I tell you what, though. We got a lot of cool cars from the 90s that are actually on the way up.
Yeah, let's start talking about those again.
Yes. Yeah, let's talk about the good ones. You want to? I got to tell you what, guys. We're talking about 90s classic cars right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts in the studio, as always. We have Hot Rods and Happy Hour's financial analyst / Yugo-loving guru.
Hey.
The professor himself, Richard Hoskins.
That wasn't necessary. Shout out to our homies in the bustling city of Rockmart, Georgia.
So we're near Alpharetta.
Yeah. Mike Melody's
down there. And then we got Hot Rods and Happy Hour's legal counsel / all-around cool car guy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
90s classics. And I heard one got brought up on out break. The Taurus SHO.
Super high output.
The first ones with the 5-speed, I liked.
They were fun, dude. They were the sound.
Remember old Robert's son at Al's?
Yeah. He had a green one.
Yeah. I thought he had a white
Chris. He might have. He had a few of them. I know he had a green one because when I worked for him, I drove it many times.
But I love those things, dude.
Yeah, man. They're cool.
You talk about a sleeper because at a glance,
it's a Taurus.
It's a Taurus.
I remember in 94, I was driving Joe Repair's Black 91. It was 5-speed. They were all 5-speeds up until 93. And then in 94, they brought the automatic. But I was driving Joe's 91. We were in 94. Yeah, we were about 16, 17. I was going to pick up beer, going back to his house, and a brand new SN95 Mustang GT pulled up beside me, and I pulled him in it. And at that moment, I said, this car is cool.
I'm with you. A good friend of mine, Pat Baker, his mom bought one, and I had my 89 GT, and I always thought I was bad. He come up beside me on that thing, and He pulled the crap out of me. I said, what in the world?
Yeah, these things were no joke.
They were fast.
Back in the day, they were down for about anything.
And how are they going on value? They're starting to climb, aren't they?
You know, there were people, they were not cheap cars. And there were people that did buy them not as their everyday driver. And they're out there with, you know, good miles that have been cared for. Those ones are coming up. Especially the 5-speed cars, they're bringing, you know, for a great one, $7,500 to $10,000, which, you know, I mean, you used to be able to pick them up all day for a couple thousand. But they're just not, you know, there's only so many of them that are still out there.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. They didn't make a lot of them.
No.
I tell you, I've got a funny Taurus SHO story. So back when I was flipping cars all the time, I used to go to Whitey's Auto Auction, which is a little hole in the wall. Open to the public auction. And I won't fail on a little secret. Most auctions that are open to the public are usually not the nicest cars in the world going through there. I'll just go ahead and tell you that.
You mean those aren't the new car dealerships taking their cars out?
Well, you know what? Some did, but it wasn't the cars that...
It was the cars they didn't want to take anywhere else.
It wasn't the Crindle of Crim.
It wasn't exactly Mannheim.
not even close. More like the Steamroller, you know? But there was this one car lot up in North Carolina that ran all their trades through. And I don't know what part of North Carolina it was, but apparently the part that's near, like, upstate New York. Because they had the rustiest cars I've ever seen in my life. But they had this – it was one of the first SHOs. It was kind of like that grayish-looking
color.
Yeah,
like a pewter color. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And this thing, literally, they just left it there at the auction. and they were trying to sell it. And I don't know how much they wanted for it, but it would never bring it. So they would run it through every night. It was the last car that came through the auction. That car came through the auction every day, every Tuesday and Thursday night for a year straight. And not a soul would bid more than $200 for it. And the auctioneer said, listen, the car has drug itself through here 200 times at this point. It can't be that bad. And like he told, who'd give me $200 for it? And he goes, somebody bid on it. He goes, yeah, I can't take that, bud. All right, moving on through. And that car was still there when I quit going to that auction.
That's a shame.
I rode by there the other day. I think it's still,
probably, it's probably grown into the ground.
That's what they got their sign posted on now. It's painted on the side out there by the road. What about the Thunderbirds? The Turbo Coupes?
Turbo Coupes are coming up. Again, same thing. Not cheap cars and kind of a gentleman's hot rod. So a lot of older guys bought them, you know, like middle-aged guys, and, you know, kind of put them away and just drove them as fun cars. And they're coming out, and they're bringing, you know, I think there was a black 87 or 88 five-speed, and that's a big thing, being a five-speed, because they had a lot more power than the automatics. There was a good one that came through. I think it went for, like, 15 or something. You know, they're again, five-speed makes a big difference.
Now, somewhere in the 90s, I'm not 100% sure, but didn't Lincoln make something similar to like the Turbo Coupe, but it was the Lincoln version, like an MX something or something?
They had the Mark 7 and the Mark 8.
That might have been what
it was. The Mark 8 essentially had a 4.6 Cobra motor. The Mark 7, I think, are beautiful cars.
They're fast.
Well, they were 5-liter Mustang engines.
Yeah. And that's like the Mercury...
Cougar?
Not the Cougar. The... man, it starts with an M.
I think of the Marauder?
Marauder?
Marauder.
Marauder, yeah.
That was in 2003 and 2004 that they brought that back. And it was the same. It was a four-valve Cobra motor and a Panther platform.
Yeah, them things were quick. They were cool. It was a little bit farther out of the 90s.
It was, but I think they will come because they're very underappreciated. And another, you know, another example of a car that a lot of old people bought and just took really good care of. So I think that's one that will come up.
It will. I think the Panther platform cars in general are going to do well.
Yeah, great.
V8, rear-wheel drive.
Full frame.
Yeah. That was like the last of the real cars.
It was. It was.
Yeah, I mean, really, truthfully, you know, Chevrolet's done away with their full-frame platform about the same time.
96.
Yeah. And then Ford, what, 2011?
11, yeah.
And so that's what makes these collectible. You know what I mean? It's not so much the grandma thing, but it's this is going to be the big Cadillac that we look at today is for the future. Well, and that's why they're going up in value.
They made 30 million of them, but, you know, 500
cars
of them.
Don't count.
500 of them are going to survive in good condition. My aunt's got one, and she's got a 2011 Platinum Edition with 43,000 miles, and she's talking about trading it in and getting something smaller. I told my dad, do not let her trade that car in.
No, get that car.
Yeah, we will give her whatever trade-in is for it. I'll put the Murata outside, man. I'll bury it in the back or something.
Bury it in the backyard.
Yeah, that one gets a space in the driveway.
I tell you what, could you imagine telling your buddies about this? Yeah, man, I got a Crown Vic and a Murata. They're like, man, they come over your house. They're like, no, you don't. You got a.
The Murata's in the woods.
It's over the hill.
I tell you what, the damn thing breaks again. It's going over the hill.
It's going in the creek. Oh man, I love it. But these cars are what's going to be collectible, though. And
they're staples.
I think the big body cars. Myself, I think the big body cars are.
But I tell you something else, though. You say that the bubble Chevys, the Impala SSs, unless it's extremely low miles, they're not hitting on a lot.
They'll pick up. They'll pick up.
But you know what? They've been saying that for 10 years.
I know. But they're not that old.
They're cool cars.
They're awesome cars.
But they just haven't picked up. I mean, you see some that are like uber low miles. But they're just not hitting on a whole lot.
The SSs will pick up. It's kind of like ZR1 Corvettes. They haven't taken off either, but they will.
Now, that's another thing, is the early ZR1s with the LT5. Those cars...
they're phenomenal.
They were ahead of their time. Now, granted, high mileage, that's a time bomb.
Yeah, But there aren't. No, actually, the motors are indestructible. The rest of it's a C4 Corvette, unfortunately.
Electronics.
Are you saying a C4 Corvette's not a reliable car? What, Richard?
When the brake lights don't work, the dash don't work.
No, it ain't brake lights. Usually the dash. Well, with 90, though, they fixed that problem. They went away from the full. Did 90 yeah. was, yeah, the when it went to the just the
yeah,
one
the
center.
Little round yeah. oval thing.
Yeah, yeah, the cockpit-style dash. Yeah. But yeah, those cars, the ZR1s, and right now you can buy them for a song.
You
really.
Can get the nicest one in the country for $20,000.
Yeah.
And they're all the nicest one in the country because everybody
they all got
put them
put
away.
Up. Yeah, they're like 78 Pace Corvettes. Nobody drove one. I would pay more for a 100,000-mile one just because you have it. I tell you what else we got to take. We got to take a commercial break. Guys, stay tuned. We're talking about classics from the 90s right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.